tradition ritual. Tradition ritual. With the changing of seasons, there's the idea of new growth, new life, and then new approaches and new ideas and things to think about. And one thing that I'm struck with is this idea of ritual and tradition and where these things come from and what they mean and how we can learn from them. So Easter, the idea of the Easter egg hunt, and I know it's a couple weeks past now, but the idea of the Easter egg hunt comes from back when we were living in small communities, tribes, farms, with chickens and ducks or egg-laying birds. In the spring, you would let them out of their pen and let them roam the yard, and springtime, these egg-laying birds would seek out little hidden bushes to lay their eggs in, and a lot of times these little hidden bushes would be little rabbit nests. So they would go and lay eggs in amongst the rabbits, little baby rabbits, in these little furry nests, and they would have the eggs scatter all over the yard in amongst these rabbits, and then, you know, you call the chickens in for the night and they come in. And so the idea of the Easter egg hunt is you would send the kids out to find all the eggs that got laid during the day, and the kids would find these eggs in these little rabbit nests and bunny, rabbit, eggs. That's all the connections, right? So Easter egg hunt, kids are hunting for the eggs, and then the finding eggs in little rabbit nests, and it's like, oh, rabbits like the eggs, you know, cool. So that's where the Easter bunny comes from in terms of like tradition mythology. It's not just something random and made up. It's kind of interesting when you look back on it and you think about it. And these Easter egg hunt is a hunt for food at its core. It comes back down to these core things that bind us as humans, which is survival and food and sustenance and renewal and regrowth and recovery. And that's spring forward into the summer, which is the harvest season and crop season and growing season. And then you have the fall, which is where we have the feasts, the Thanksgivings. You have Halloween, which is a ritual to scare off the dark that is coming with the winter. So you dress as monsters in an effort to scare the monsters that are lurking just at the edge of your town, you know, as the darkness is encroaching and the winter's coming, and falling into that. And that's where Halloween comes from. You're sort of scaring the darkness back and trying to push back against that. That's where these sort of fall rituals come from. And this is obviously for areas, regions where humans experience four seasons, obviously, in different regions, they have different traditions around the seasonal weather patterns and shifts and growth patterns and things like that, monsoons and droughts and windy seasons and things. And there's different rituals around those seasons you can trace back. It's quite fascinating because it all comes down to just uniting the tribe and staying together and helping one another and helping each other survive and eat and food. So come Christmas time, it's the longest, it's around the winter solstice, which is the longest night of the year. And that is where any families that had a bad harvest or pulled in bad food or bad luck or whatever might be coming up on the end of their stores. And there's, you know, 3 months of winter ahead, 4 months of winter ahead that they have to get through with little to nothing. So you, instead of charity, you host large gatherings where families or families, which are really just smaller tribes within the tribe, host other families to share food and share bounties and prop up the ones that maybe didn't have enough to get through the winter. And just once again, working together to help the community survive. And that's where sort of these winter feasting rituals come from, is just a way to help the tribe survive the winter, and then you fall back into spring and it just begins again. It's cyclical, always around. And it just sort of got me thinking, that we as humans have become so disconnected from these kind of core rituals that revolve around survival and around thriving and around community and around service. And we should start to think of ourselves less as islands and more as parts of a bigger whole. And that doesn't minimize your role. Everyone has a role to play, and everyone's actions are important. And sometimes you're going to be in a spot where you need help, and it'll be given freely. And sometimes you'll be in a position where you are able to help, and you can give it freely. And that is just part of being human. And I think we need to try to come back to that as just people. We are too divided along old ways of thinking and old sort of tribal bloodlines almost. And we need to fight against that and think back to what is important. And that is making it through the winter. That is survival. That is eating. And raising the next generation and coming together as a community to support each other when we struggle and when we fall. And instead of belittling or punishing people for mistakes or actions, we need to look at how can we reintegrate people and bring them back into the fold and into the community. And unfortunately, we are under this system that doesn't allow for that. It's a system that is inherently violent and inherently against freedom, because in order to be part of a community, you need to be responsible for yourself and understand that your actions are governed by you, and that you have no right to govern someone else's actions or someone else's behaviors or someone else's wants or needs. You are self-governed and they are self-governed, and then you work together to achieve a common goal, and you have no right to infringe on their self-governance. And that is where we are falling and have fallen. As just even a species, we've given into systems of power where we give over that self-governance to larger bodies. In the past, it was, you know, tribal leaders, kings, monarchies, barons, And now it's politicians, governments, militaries, armies, and we trust them just blindly, and we don't, are no longer think for ourselves, and we just sort of go along with this narrative of follow the rules, follow what the leader says, and even if you don't agree with it, you have to live with it because that's the law. And that's not really the case. We are endowed just by nature of being human with freedom, and freedom comes from being alive, and freedom comes with responsibility of self-governance. And you can't infringe on someone else's freedom, sure, but your actions, as long as they aren't infringing on someone else's freedom, are totally allowed, are totally within ethical and moral boundaries. So don't think of laws, and don't think of government, and don't think of rules as these hard and fast things, and don't think of breaking them as immoral or wrong. It is not immoral to break a law that infringes on your rights to your own autonomy. So, for an example, you could take drug legislation and let's say LSD or psilocybin, and you want to cultivate and grow and take that drug and go on mind trips and expand your consciousness. Well, as things stand, that is equivalent to, at least in most Western countries, that is equivalent to heroin or any other hard drug, but it's the same thing for those. I mean, if you wanted to take heroin, you should be allowed to too, but you are breaking a law and you could potentially go to jail. And what you have done, so break it down step by step, and this is where I think people need to start thinking more, is I buy mushroom spores, let's say, you know, whatever, online. I cultivate them, I grow them, I eat these mushrooms, I get high. Where in that chain has anyone been harmed? Where in that chain has any damage been done? If I take those mushrooms and I go out and, let's say, get pulled over for something and a cop finds them on me, I am now facing 10 years in jail. And that is not right. And that is a perfect example of how we've been so blind to give over our self-governance in the name of just security or idleness, that we haven't stopped to think of what that really entails. Because now you've taken harmless acts and turned them into harmful ones, because now that person, their life is essentially ruined over something that harmed nobody, in the case of mushrooms. But even if it was something hard like heroin, the only one they're harming is themselves, and that is morally wrong. The government and laws like that are morally and ethically wrong and just horrible, and nobody thinks beyond power structures. Everyone just blindly accepts that because the government has power, it has power and it's allowed to do whatever it wants, and that's not the case, and that is not right. That's why we need to bring it back to sort of self-government, self-community, and self-growth, and to loop it back to where we started. How would you organize in a world with no power? Because that's the world I see. That's the world I want to be in, a world where no one tells you what you can and cannot do with your body and your mind. And how do you live in that world? Sort of a blissful anarchy is the best way to describe it. Well, it comes back to small communities, and it comes back to pockets of self-governing individuals that all agree to take actions for the collective good and support one another. And that's sort of the gist. It's like, let's look at a different example. Say I am a doctor. I mean, this is a longer example, but I'm a doctor, and current healthcare system, my salary is paid through OHIP and everything else, which is taken from people via taxes, which is basically it's stolen from people because you have no say in paying your taxes. You can't say no. If you say no, you go to jail. That is the definition of theft. That is the definition of extortion. They will lock you up if you don't pay your taxes. So, like, how can that not be wrong? You know, if I went to if I threatened somebody until they paid me money, that's wrong, you know, and that's what the government does. But anyway, so I'm this doctor in this current model, and my salary comes from extorted money, and that's sort of, I help people or whatever. But let's say I'm a doctor in a small community. I went off and got training, and I came back, and, you know, Billy Bob, he's got the typhus. I know how to help him. Am I going to help him? Well, as a human being, yes, of course. I know how to help him, and I'm going to help him. And there's no profit motive. There's no reward motive. The reward is that Billy Bob lives and my community gets to have a member survive. And it doesn't have to be these systems of power and profit and fancy cars. And that's where we need to sort of rewire our approach and rewire our thinking and come back to the why. Is you do a job for the benefit of yourself and others. And if it's a terrible job, but it needs to be done, then you suck it up and you do it because you know that it needs to be done. And that is where people need to sort of start to think, how can we live without power structures forcing us to do things under threat of violence? So that doctor in that scenario isn't forced to help Billy Bob. He could say no. He could say, I don't want to help him. But then the community is going to kind of ostracize him. And, you know, he's going to be seen as this monster who doesn't help people unless they pay him, and he's gonna be kind of maligned, and eventually the community might get fed up with him and remove him and not allow him to live with them because he doesn't bring anything to the table unless you pay him because he's selfish. And is that like a threat of violence? Yes, no. I mean, it's your choice to say, I don't want to help you, but then it's my choice to say, well, I'm not going to help you either, you know? So now when that doctor, his driveway needs to be shoveled or a road needs to be built, I'm not going to help him. I'm not going to build his road, you know? He didn't help me. So that's where that sort of goes. But then you have this system now of extortion where, yeah, I don't know, the extortion is there. And then you throw in the current system, the taxes and the pay structures and things fall apart. I don't know, fuck, shit, I lost the thread. What I'm getting at is that we need to start seeing each other as self-governed individuals that are, as long as someone's choice doesn't impact you, then just let it go and stop. Just stop. If someone's doing something and you don't necessarily like it, but it's not hurting you, then just let it go, you know? And I think that's where we need to all land, is to support one another and to leave one another alone and stay out of each other's business. It sounds silly and childish, but like, why do you need to be up in someone's face about their whatever? Gender, sexuality, drug use, hobbies, proclivities, I don't care, you know? We need to start thinking for ourselves, and we need to start thinking outside of government, and we need to start realizing that government is not here to help us. Government is here to maintain power structures, and power structures are inherently violent, and power structures are inherently evil and inherently immoral, because at the end of the day, a power structure relies on forcing people to do things they don't want to do. And that is not right. So we need to sort of reconsider how we approach things and reconsider the very idea of governance and what it means. Self-governance is important, and that's where we sort of need to land. It's something to think about, at least. There is a lot to think. It's a messy topic for sure, because, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of what ifs. But at the end of the day, ask yourself, why are you so comfortable giving away your freedom over yourself to another person? Because that's what you've done implicitly by following the rules and the laws laid out for you. Why are you so comfortable allowing other people to tell you what you can and cannot do? And once you land on that, I think you start to realize that it's not right. Just some thoughts. Till next time.